it's good to hear your story or see where you're at. And it was just really encouraging to think that you're there and fulfilling the calling and purpose that he has you there for this time. And God bless you in Syria. I also appreciate the worship this morning again. A longing to fulfill the calling and purpose that we have in our life. And to worship him in truth and spirit. Yeah. So this morning, I was thinking a little bit about a couple years ago, maybe just 2 years ago, we went through Philippians. And the question was asked, what does it mean to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? And the answer came back that what God has worked in us, we work it out. So this morning, the topic that I want to talk about is giving. And it's not a salvation issue, but it's very much what Christ has asked us to do is giving. Jesus is a good example of giving. He gave his life for us. In John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. What a great gift for us. So this morning, I just want to share on that. So the title of my message this morning is Giving, a Form of Worship. And we think about worship. Sunday mornings coming here, singing songs and worship. Jordan leading out in worship, or someone leading out in worship. And how can giving be a form of worship? And I believe it's a heart attitude. So 1 Chronicles 16, starting in verse 26, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it shall not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out of the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory be to thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. So that's where we've seen that in verse 29. It says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name, bring an offering, and come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. That's where I felt like we can put those together, giving a form of worship. So what is worship? I think we can be here together in worship and songs, But if our heart's not there, it can be empty. And worship is showing reverence. As Christians, we reverence God. As showing reverence for his power, his authority, character, and holiness. And the one way to do this is by singing songs of praise and adoration in our church service. We also show reverence for God in other ways as well, and that is in giving. As we give, we can give grudgingly, but we can also give because we have so much, we have been given so much. There's in Luke, there's a parable there in Luke about a lady, about a woman. It identifies her as a woman, a sinner. And I'm going to start at Luke 7, verse 37. And this is just a woman. She's identified as a sinner. And just her adoration for God because he forgave her. In verse 37, verse in Luke 7, it says, "And behold, a woman in that city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man," which meant Jesus, "if he were a prophet, would have known what matter a woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Most. Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, See thou this woman, I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, wiped them with hairs of her head. She gave me no kiss. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil that thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And again, in verse 50, it says, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And he says that to the woman. Again, she was just, I believe she was just so full of joy, so full of adoration towards God, of what God has done. And I believe that's worship. Worship before him. And we can do that in giving. We can do that in as we worship him in songs. Worship him because of what God has done. And there's many songs that we sing in the morning that just draws us to God. Just to see his goodness, his mercy. Matthew 25, 34 is another picture of someone just giving. Matthew 25, starting at verse 34. I'll go to 40. And it says, "Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have it done unto me." And again, it's just here we can see someone giving of their resources as well. Just giving. And not really taking notice of, you know, "Oh, I'm doing this to find favor." No. Jesus is bringing this out. And he said, if you do this to other people, it's like you're doing it for me. So again, it's as we go through life, we're called to give because Christ gave. He was a giver. And we can read from through the Word of God, from Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation. There's a lot where God is a giver. He is a giver. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 9 and just spend a little bit of time there. 2 Corinthians 9, or actually 8 and 9 is where Paul is talking to the Macedonian believers there, and he is he's heading back to Jerusalem. And so on his way back, he wants to take some money back for the Jerusalem church. And because from Jerusalem is where the whole gospel started. And then from there, it went out into the different, where Paul went and preached the gospel. And I like how this here is Paul. There was some needs in Jerusalem. And Paul is saying to the churches that he has started that they should take an offering so he can take it along back to the church in Jerusalem. And I think it's a good example of even if as a church body, if you're getting fed in a church, if the elders are feeding the sheep, I believe they should be you should tithe to that church. And tithing is 10%. From Scripture, we can see that it is 10% in the Old Testament. But again, it's only a start. It doesn't have to stop at 10%. But it's a good place to start. And again, if you're tight in that, I would say, start somewhere. Pray about it. And ask God how much you should give to your local body. Second Corinthians 9. Again, the title or the heading here is God prizes a cheerful giver. Again, we're looking at this worship of just giving, not because you have to, not because it's required, but giving because you want to, giving because you love God, giving because Yeah, God delights in a cheerful giver. I'm going to start in at verse 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Again, he's bringing out an illustration here of a farmer. We all know if we plant seeds, most times it brings out 100-fold. Plant one seed of corn, and you get a lot more corn. And it's just a beautiful picture of if you plant seeds in the body, in the church body, or wherever you plant, God is saying, it's a promise here. It says here, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And I think about what you're doing, Seth. I believe there's people here that are supporting you, and that is planting into the kingdom. And we don't see the fruits of what you're doing over there, but we will receive. There's a reward there because of what you're doing. We're sending you, and we're supporting you. And I believe those are seeds that we're planting that will bring forth. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Again, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Again, just as I shared before, we're not doing it because we have to, or we need to, because we want to. It's because of love flowing from us. You know, there's times that we think, well, if we give that much, what about our bills? And that is a concern. But in Philippians 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your needs. We can trust and a prayer of faith in Christ. And even as we give, we do it out of faith. We by faith, we give. And there what it says, every man according as he purposed in his heart. Again, it's something that we purpose. It's something we pray about it. We pray about how much we give. And you know, if you're married, pray. Ask God, how much can we give for this? Not by someone manipulating you to give a certain amount, but it's you praying about it. Asking God. So let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is able to make all grace abound. There is more than enough grace for us. He is able to make all grace abound. Then verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Again, I just think about there Matthew 10, verse 22. And whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I said to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. It's as we're giving, as even as little as a cup of cold water to a little one, you will in no wise lose your reward. As I started studying a scripture about giving, there is just so much about giving that I was just amazed that, you know, I think that's who we should be as Christians, a giving culture. But also be responsible. What I'm saying as far as financially, be responsible. I'll get to that later. Verse 10, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread to your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of righteousness. Paul recognized here that God is the great supplier. That God gives you these resources. And whatever we give, he gives to us first. That's what I see there in verse 10. Now he that ministered seed to the sower, both ministered bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us thanksgiving to God. Again, it just gives us a heart of thanksgiving to God. Giving, the giving of the Corinthians was applied to the needs of the saints. And that's in verse 12. For the ministration, here there's four ways that by giving they were rewarded. Verse 12, for the administration of the service was not only supplied the want of the saints. So the giving of the Christians will supply the needs of the saints. There was needs. There was needs there in Jerusalem. But they were thankful because of what they gave, because of what the churches gave to Jerusalem. There was a gratefulness, a thankfulness coming from the Jerusalem church. Well, by the experience of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of God, Christ. Again, it's an attitude of gratitude flowing from them. Verse 14, and by their prayers for you, and their, Paul here is saying, because of what you gave, Jerusalem will be praying for you. Verse 14 there, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Then verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Here he's concluding the chapter here, and he says, thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. And what is that unspeakable gift? It could be the gift of Jesus, the gift of salvation. It could be more than that, but that's the unspeakable gift, the love of Christ. I'm going to go back to Malachi. So in the Old Testament, we can, in the beginning of the Old Testament, we read quite a bit of what it meant to tithe. They were very consistent with tithing, 10%. That's what it meant by tithing. I think it's in Leviticus. It's actually the Mosaic Law. Yeah, Leviticus 27, verse 30. That's where the tithe was introduced in the law. And then we can read. That was just what they did. They gave at least 10%. And many of the principles regarding sacrifices and tithe were intended to encourage inward attitudes as well as outward actions. Just say that again. Many principles regarding sacrifices and tithe were intended to encourage inward attitudes. What do I mean by that? I guess my thought is, there's something that happens if we give. There's something that happens if we give. There's joy in giving. We grew up and we heard, give till it hurts. And there's nothing wrong with that quote, but it's actually giving, you actually get joy in giving. There's actually joy that comes from giving. And that's what can happen if you give. I had a quote here. See it now. So if we go to Malachi, verse 3. Again, it's talking about tithing. And Malachi here, in verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you're going away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." And then the question, "But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And it says, in tithe and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open your windows of heaven, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time. In the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." The thing about tithing can be a challenge. And I know of a business owner. They're very, very prosperous right now. They're doing well. But at one time they were not. So I asked him, "So what changed? What happened?" And he said, "Us partners decided we're gonna start giving 10%. We're going to start giving 10% of our take-home pay." And he said, things turned around just like that. Before this, it was just we just didn't get ahead. So I believe God is asking us, "Wherein have we robbed thee in tithe and offering?" And said, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." You know, we all know
What happens if we don't pay our taxes? There's consequences for that. And I believe there's consequences by not giving as the Word of God requires. And so that's, and even for myself, it can be a challenge, but it can be great joy in giving as well. I also heard of someone else that started giving, although it was a sacrifice for them. But they decided they're going to do it. And we don't know the rewards that will bring. But it seems like their shoes lasted longer. They didn't have dentist bills. It was just a lot of things that went that happened that God was working in their hearts and their lives. That it didn't take as much money. So I believe if we trust God and work and do by faith, I believe He will reward you. Maybe not as we would think, but spiritually. I know of a dear brother that, you know, he sold his cows and he gave most of the money away. And yeah, maybe not see his rewards right there, but God sees all that. God sees what he has done, and he will reward him. There's no mistakes. God sees it if we give it out of a grateful heart. And it goes on to say, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." You know, again, we don't know how God is going to bless us, but He will. There is going to be a blessing if you prayerfully decide as a couple and you follow through with it. And start wherever you can right now. But look at increasing it. And it says, "And pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it." And he goes on to say, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Again, it's just, there's promises there. "And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." We were going through Hebrews, and when we were going through there, we talked about Melchizedek, and how Abraham returned back from the battle of bringing Lot back. If I can find him. And I'm not sure why, but it says there that Abraham, on his way back, met this Melchizedek. And Melchizedek as a priest. And it says here in Hebrews 7, verse 1. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." So here, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Again, I'm going to maybe draw a picture here. If you have been blessed in this church by coming here, and I just had to think about this week how much effort the elders put in preaching the Word of God. And I appreciate that. Thank you. I don't take it for granted. If you have been blessed, if you have been blessed through their preaching, through their teaching, it says, so Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and in return of that, to whom also Abraham gave tenth part of all. First being the interpretation, the kings of righteousness. So here, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And then Abraham blessed Melchizedek with 10%, the tenth of his slaughter, and blessed him. Tenth part of all, it says, yeah. And if we go on to verse 4 there, now consider how great this man was, unto whom also the patriarch Abraham, gave the tenth of the spoils. It means he gave from the top. He didn't just give him the leftovers. He gave from the top down, and he gave to Melchizedek. And again, I think if we only give God the leftovers, we might not give very much. But if we purpose in our heart, we'll give from the top. God will be blessed. And I think about you children here, you know, think about what is a tenth of your income or a tenth of whatever. Said someone gives you 10 pieces of candy. One of those candies can you give away. And that's only a small, but that's what a tenth of it is. That's a small portion. And even, yeah, I would just encourage it. Start it. Purpose in your heart when you're young. And see what God will do. See what God will do. He says here in Malachi, prove me. And we have seen that as a family, you know. Is that I will see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I believe each one of us, we want to be blessed. And sometimes we don't know, is it going to be financially? It could be spiritually. It could be whatever. But God sees if you're a cheerful giver. There's no mistakes. He sees everything. I'm going to leave you with that. God bless you.